I gave a lecture right here about Planet Karma, and I'm back after 2 years and I'm still alive, as the title says. So before we start, okay, so the thing would be, what is Planet Karma? And how many of you don't have a clue of what Planet Karma is? If, okay, so there's people that sort of know, people that don't. So Planet Karma is a package collection of audio, music, and media-related software that installs on top of Red Hat or Fedora core distributions, right? How it started, for those of you that never have heard of it, is that at CCRMA, pronounced Karma, that's a Center for Computer Research in Music and Acoustics at Stanford, we have been using Linux since around end of 96 or so. And after a while, I started building packages for the applications that were used for teaching and research at Karma for our machines, right? And obviously, after a while, students would say, well, I would like to install Linux at home, and what can I do? And so I would point them to a directory and say, okay, there are packages there, just download them and install them. After that, I made the mistake of making a small website with instructions on how to install those packages, with links to the packages. And as I said 2 years ago, things went downhill from there. We'll see a timeline in a moment. But that's basically the story. The story is, this was not a project that was planned or organized in a sense. It was a side effect of me maintaining a usable music and audio environment at Karma as part of my work as a systems administrator there. And then obviously the internet makes it possible to open that to anyone in the world, which is what I eventually did, and that was again a mistake, but and it's grown a lot since then. So what it has is a package collection. It's has internet-based installs or CD-ROM-based installs. It has the usual, as Agnula has and a couple of other projects have. It has a low-latency optimized kernel, up-to-date ALSA drivers, and, well, I wouldn't say comprehensive, but it's a big collection of applications that you can use for MIDI, audio, music, and video. And now, my God, it's a distribution, but we'll see if that's true or not. So as I was saying, 96, 97, first Linux installs at Karma. September of 2001, I announced it on CMDIS, which is a list for SND or Common Music CLM users. February of 2002, it became app-based, so it was usable after that, because otherwise a package management is a problem. APT, which is a port of the package management and dependency resolver of Debian, done by Connectiva, makes it possible to install packages and their dependencies in a very easy way. August 2002, first CD-ROM images that make it possible to install from CD-ROM. And this is an install that happens on top of an already running Red Hat or Fedora core install. So it's an add-on thing. And so on and so forth. Then I went through many releases. Originally it was for Red Hat 7.2, I think. Then came 7.3, Red Hat 8, Red Hat 9, Fedora Core 1, and this is where a big change occurred within Red Hat in terms of support, as Free was talking in the previous lecture. Fedora Core 2, which came with the 2.6 kernel, which was a big problem at the time for me, and Fedora Core 3, end of last year, and now Planet Karma 3, and we'll see what that is or not. What I currently are based, I'm based on Fedora Core 3, third release of the Fedora project. The kernel is 2.6.12 RC2 plus Ingo's real-time preemption patch, that one. Also 1.09 RC2. The real-time kernel module so that you can use real-time scheduling from a normal non-root user account. Ruiz RTIRQ script that optimizes the priorities of the interrupts when you're using 2.6 kernels patch with Ingo's patch. And then all the audio packages that you always had. What's new now for this conference is a distribution. And I said many times, I mean many times I had this question in the Planet Karma mailing lists. Well, do I have to download all these CD-ROMs and install Fedora Core before installing Planet Karma? Yes. Are you ever going to do a distribution? No, because it's going to be a lot of work. But, you know, I'm not really very smart. So I started exploring this option, and it's actually having the equivalent of a distribution is good for Karma in the sense that I can, you know, give a student one CD-ROM, in this case, one DVD, and say, okay, install this. It's much easier, obviously. But it's also more work. We'll see how this works in the long term. So a distro, well, yeah, no. At this point, it's one DVD, and it's all of Fedora Core 3 plus Planet Karma, so that's approximately 2.7 gigabytes. And this is without one DVD without the source packages, which are available separately. So, in response to all those people in the Planet Karma lists that asked for, you know, something that was easier to install, yes, it's easier to install. The problem with the downloads is the same because it's big, it's huge. It is a distro, but it's not, because if you look at the numbers, all of it is approximately 1,900 packages in all. All of Fedora Core 3 plus Planet Karma. If you look at the packages that I built, there are only 330 packages. So that's very little. But the end result is not really Fedora Core anymore, because key components have been changed. For example, the kernel, which is not a small detail. You know, change for better or worse, as you will see if you try it out. So what do you need? Disk space, supported hardware, and obviously before you try it at home, please make backups of everything, as you probably do every day, or once a year, or once every 10 years, or... Well, it starts happening after you lose a lot of data. That's my experience. And then you're very, very, very careful about it, and after 5 years, you lose more data, and then you get careful again. So how do you do it? Well, you get the image, you burn it into a DVD, boot into it, and let Anaconda, which is the Fedora Core installer, do its work. So this is what you see, and I think I'll do a beginning of an install, but it's essentially, if you have ever looked at Red Hat, the Red Hat installer or the Fedora Core installer, it's the same thing. There's no difference. So it has the usual pages. I'm not going to go through them, just show you some of the things that will look differently. You can obviously select the type of installation. In the original, you can select between a server and a workstation and a desktop. Here it's very simple. Either install all of Planet Karma or a custom install in which you can change anything. This is pretty much the last, there's many screens in between these two, obviously. You can choose to customize the installation, and then you can select individual packages within the world of Planet Karma or Fedora. It's the same thing. And you see, here's one data point. It's almost 3.7 gigabytes installed if you select the default. And then it starts installing and does its thing. You reboot and you go through a couple of screens that configure sound. And essentially, at that point, you should have a system where you can fire QJAC-CTL, customize the buffer size, and it works. Provided, of course, that this kind of bleeding edge kernel works fine in your hardware, and that's not always the case. If you read the paper that's in the proceedings, there's more details about this whole thing, so I won't go over them. There's still questions to be answered on what's best for the distribution in terms of what kernel to use. Planet Karma has two kernels available. One is a more conservative kernel that doesn't have INGOS patches, but is currently it's 2.610 something, but I should update it. So that kernel pretty much guarantees that things will work, no matter what hardware you have, provided that Fedora would work on that hardware, of course, which might not happen, depending on what you have. And then there's another kernel, which is more bleeding edge. It's optimized for low latency, but it may not work so well in all hardware platforms. Currently, I'm using that kernel, which would be the unstable kernel, for the DVD distribution. But maybe that's not the best choice. I don't know. I'll have to think about it. And this is very, very new. In fact, so new that I finished an alpha version that has some issues, and it's replicated 1,000 times in this DVD that was made for the conference, which is kind of, I shouldn't have done that, but well, it's here. With an additional detail, regretfully, there was not enough time. I mean, the original intention of this conference DVD was to have a DVD that could be booted into three live CDs, right? Yeah, the Agnula live CD, Dynbolic live CD, SUSE live CD, and then the Planet Karma installer, which is not a live CD. So you have, in here you have for free four different systems that you can try out and see how they work for you. But it was impossible. Frank was working on this like crazy, but he didn't make it to made it that way, because apparently he could make the start boot, I don't know if you were involved, Frey, with this, he couldn't make the live CDs, he could start the boot of them, but they wouldn't work because they would not find their stuff once they booted, something like that, he told me. And this is very regretful, really, because if you boot into this by default, you will get Planet Karma. I would prefer not to have that as a default, but rather that you had a menu. So if you want to try this out, first try it, I would suggest first, get the ISO images out of here and burn them into the CD so that you have the live CDs that you can try. I would go for that first. If you're curious, if you're not already running Linux, in which case this is academic. Anyway, the end result is you have everything installed and all sounds should work and you can just write music. Or you can start tweaking things and installing more packages or never make music, which is what we usually end up doing, right? Then after you have installed Planet Karma, you can keep up to date with the latest applications. using apt, which is the package manager, command line, or you can use Synaptic, which is this GUI package manager. And this is showing the list of all packages that our original Planet Karma builds. So it's quite a list. Some of them are not music packages per se, but rather supporting libraries that you need to run music applications. So one of the side effects of getting this distribution done is that now you can use up-to-date, which is the, if you know Fedora or Red Hat, you know they have a service for keeping track of package updates and prompting you to install them. So if you install from the DVD, then up-to-date actually works. And so if you have looked at, well, I didn't want to do that, not yet. If you were to go to this guy and there were packages, it would tell you what's available. And up-to-date itself will by default take a while to start, and then you will see the Planet Karma packet repositories as part of the, with this resolution it's not very clear, but you can see enough anyway. So that was not possible before. So other stuff that I included in the paper, I don't think I will go in detail. You can read about it later, especially because we don't want to miss whatever Paul Davis added to Ardour last night, right? we surely don't want to miss that. So, but I'm trying to work with, I mean, Planet Karma is an APT or YUM repository, a collection of packages, but there are many others in the Red Hat Fedora world. A bunch of them are trying to form a project that will pool spec files, which are the building blocks for RPM packages, so that there's no or as little duplicate work as possible, and that's the RPM Forge project. And some of the repositories that are part of it is Planet Karma on one hand, and Fresh RPMs, DAG, AT RPMs, Dries, and so on and so forth. And the Fedora project, which is this a new part of what Red Hat used to be, is supposed to be from the beginning a community-driven project in part, but that never really happened. They didn't really have the infrastructure to do that at the beginning, and it took a longer time, I think, than what they imagined to get that online. But that has just happened. And that's the Fedora Extra project, which is a repository of add-on packages in the same way that Fresh RPMs or DAG are, but community maintained. In a similar way, it's not the same thing, but in a similar way that Debian is maintained. It's not; it's a different thing, but there's some of it there. So I am trying to find time to contribute to both projects so that Planet Karma packages eventually, hopefully, I mean, not Planet Karma packages, packages of the music and video and audio software that I package will be part of Fedora Extra. So they will just be assimilated into the bigger Fedora world. If you try this image that's here, it's the second alpha image I made, so it might have some rough edges, and indeed it has. There were size limitations. So this is not the complete Fedora thing. It's approximately 1.7 gigabytes instead of 2.7. It only has GNOME in it, so it doesn't have the KDE desktop, right? So you can always add that later, but the image here doesn't have that. So you will find, if you try it out, you'll find that many things are missing, in part because I didn't really have time to redo the install hierarchy. So you will find KDE, but if you click on it, you'll find, you know, 5 packages instead of 20 packages. So that option shouldn't be there, but it's there, so that you're not surprised. It will not recognize existing Fedora installs, this guy, which is something that I fixed after the hard limit, you know, time for submitting the image. It has kernel 2.6.11.0.3 RDT, which is my version of 2.6.11 plus Ingos real-time patches, also 1.0.9 RC1, and almost no video apps because I hadn't built them yet for Fedora Core 3. I built a lot afterwards in the week that followed, but so I have now a better one, which is the full 2.7 gig, which is already obsolete because the kernel is already old in a sense. That's too bad. And that's it. What I could do is, how much time? Not much time. I'm almost done. So let's shut down. The machine. And this will take a little bit. So see, I'm not crazy. I have another disk. So I'll exchange the disk and I'll boot into the conference DVD. And I will not install, but I'll show you how it starts. Okay. So this disk that I just put in has Fedora Core 2 in it. And let's see if this, yeah. Okay, so what I'm going to do is start it with a parameter that says, you know, upgrade anything. And anyway, so you will see more content if you put this as a data disk and go to index.html at the root, okay? So anyway, so this will boot, and if you have ever, you know, tried Fedora or Red Hat, this will be very familiar. And this is, I mean, there's several places in the web where the Fedora community is documenting the installer. And so I'm not going to test the media. And this is probably going to fail because this has been changed. The DVD is not the same as what I originally submitted. Anyway, so Anaconda, which is the installer itself, written in Python, is being documented, and that's why I was able to create from scratch this DVD. And at this point, I have the process pretty much automated, in the sense that I can start a set of scripts and half an hour later, roughly, I have a new ISO image that has everything that was in Fedora Core 3 plus all the updates that happened since it was released. So this DVD not only has original Fedora Core 3, but also all the updates that were issued, plus Planet Karma. We're missing the bottom part, but that's okay. I'm clicking on next here. So you have the usual screens that select language and keyboard. So this is searching for other installations, and it's finding something which is, it won't happen unless you install with the upgrade any keyword. So I could install Planet Karma from scratch, or I could upgrade whatever is on the disk. Let's choose this guy. So if I partition manually, we get here, and let's reuse this guy. The usual, I mean, this is the same thing that you would see in a normal Fedora install. And well, we're here, right? Somewhere in there. I don't know. Europe, Andorra? I don't think so. Maybe here, Amsterdam?
Close.
Close enough, right? So, and then now it's reading whatever is on the disk, on the DVD, which is the information about packages that are available. And again, this is not the complete system. I had the complete system and I burned it at the last moment on a DVD plus R, and of course this drive doesn't read it, so I have to use this. So you can choose to go with the default, or you can customize the selection of packages to install. And then you have the usual thing, and this is what I was talking about. KDE appears to be here as an option, but if you look at this, it doesn't have much. Actually nothing. What it has is whatever packages were needed by the Planet Karma programs. So some of them need KDE, but they don't need the full thing with the desktop and everything. So anyway, so you get the idea. If you go down to the bottom, you'll see all the categories that make this up. And you can go to whatever, let's see, where is Jack? Look at the details and, you know, include or exclude packages and so on and so forth. Once you're done, say next, it's checking stuff to see if it can actually do the install. And eventually you click next and off you go. I'm not going to do that right now. And I think we're done. With the time, you also have, okay, let's boot into this guy. I'll show one more thing, but you can start asking questions if you have any.
Okay, we start with a question from here, from the lecture hall.
Hello, this is Hanwa Nienhuis from the Netherlands. I was just wondering, you're working with Fedora Core 3, and probably when 4 comes out, you'll move to Fedora Core 4, I guess. But what happens with support for older releases? Because I remember that you also had packages for Red Hat 7.
Yeah. Currently, what I'm supporting in the sense of building packages, right, for it, is Red Hat 9, Fedora Core 1, 2, and 3. Support for Fedora Core 4 will happen, but not immediately. There's two levels of support, if we're talking about support. One would be my support in the sense of building packages for all those versions. There's also support in terms of critical security updates coming from Fedora, and that's dropped much earlier, and it's passed over to another project, which is called the Fedora Legacy Project. And that just happened with Fedora Core 2, because Fedora Core 4 Test 2 was released, and at the same time, Fedora Core 2 was passed to this other project. I don't know for how long things are going to be maintained, and I don't know for how long I will maintain stuff. It depends on user demand. I usually, you know, ask before dropping support, are there, you know, any people still using this? And if I get one or two responses, then the thing dies. There's only so many hours in the day. It might get better. And of course, if you install from the DVD, you get very nice, I don't know why this is, you know, graphics and background images and all that stuff. Very important for making music. Where was I? Yeah. It depends on user demand and my time. Oh, I was going to mention that I'm trying to create a build environment in which more people can contribute to the task of maintaining packages and building packages, and we'll see how that works out. I do have the resources. I have a machine that I built specifically for that, for building packages. And it's a fast one with a big RAID array and dual processor Opteron. So we'll see if that can take off at some point. If that happens, then more versions could be maintained at the same time, if there's more people helping, obviously.
Okay, thanks. And there's a question from the internet.
Okay. Luke Jelovic asks why it is that you package pre-release autodrivers and other pre-release software. He asks why it is that you package pre-release ALSA drivers and other pre-release software.
That's a good question. Usually, because it has support for things that some of my users need. For example, this particular pre-releases have better drivers for the Sound Blaster Live. It's a patch set that I think Lee Revel originally created, and it's been incorporated. So I get, you know, this, you know, questions on the mailing list. You know, I have this card and it doesn't work, and I know it has support in either CVS or a pre-release, and I usually go ahead and release it, although it's not the safest or more stable thing to do. But I never said this was safe or stable. So, and even I sometimes package also CVS, for example. I don't know if there are more questions.
I just got a sign from Sebastian from outside. I guess he wanted to show me that they are about to start.
Well, let's go. I
would like to.
The only thing was that, you know, there is a menu system also available that has things neatly classified that you can install, and it also has pointers to the web pages of the different programs that you can just jump to, which is sometimes helpful for, I mean, if you're just starting to use software. And with that, let's go see Ardour. Right?
Okay, thank you very much, Fernando.